We're rolling. Hi, I'm Jenna.
And I'm Ted. I'm a teacher. I teach at a high school. I teach English.
And I'm Jenna. I am a recent graduate of Pace University, a student of psychology. And I am his ex-student. And I am living with Ted in Ted's house right now. So we are the real life Matilda and Miss Honey. This is welcome to our inaugural episode of our podcast, Ted and Jenna. Right now, it's the shtick is that it's life advice from two people from different generations.
Or from our experience.
If you're not familiar with what Matilda and Miss Honey is, I'm really sorry. I don't think you should listen to this right now. I think you should go watch Matilda. Thank you. So we are going to start out our episodes like this with a donut. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because we both love donuts.
We figured this out the first night I stayed here.
I was so happy.
Yeah. I love donuts. A lot of my friendships were forged over donuts.
Me too.
Hi, Nick. And my Sweet 16, which I did have, there was no cake. There was donuts. There was only donuts. And I know that Ted understands that.
We had donuts just about every morning growing up. The Hell's Bakery man would drive past our house in this wonderful van. He'd open the doors and pull out these long drawers of fresh donuts. It was so wonderful. I was in heaven every morning when I saw that helmsman.
I was born in the wrong generation. I was born on the wrong coast. Ted is from
California, where the donuts are really good.
What's that place that you love?
The donut hole?
The donut hole. Okay, so tell me about that.
Oh my God.
There's no pictures in podcasts.
Yeah, but
on Instagram.
We're going to put it on Instagram, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Okay.
The donut hole. Oh my God. It's near my grandmother's house. When I was little, though, it wasn't there. But, you know, I remember when they finally built it. I think I was like in maybe sixth grade or something like that. I think I was in the sixth grade when they finally built it. But we would drive in there with our car, and you have this, it looks like a donut. You're driving into the hole of the donut. And then as you drive through, it's very long, and you see just rows and rows of donuts through the windows.
Oh, my God.
And so then you choose them, and it's just, it's amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've never been to California, but I know the first place I'm going
is
when
the donut.
I do.
You got to get a ticket to L.A. to go to the donut hole, definitely.
Okay. What? Okay. I was picturing the donut hole in the north. For some reason, when I saw that photo, it looked like...
Oh no!
That's more of a northern climate. No. I don't know why that's beautiful though.
Yeah.
That large
donut. It's near
donut.
La Puente, California, and near Covina. I think it's on the border between the two places.
Yeah, those places mean nothing to me.
Well, if you go there and you have to look for the donut hole, you gotta say, where is it? Oh my God, it's in La Puente, which is a cool little area.
That's so cool. So to segue off of that, the donuts we have in front of us are definitely not from California.
No.
They are cake... Ted's... I wish you could see the look that Ted's giving me right now. They are from the East Coast. They are from the town that I was raised in. Mm-hmm. And
they are good.
People fly to Cold Snack for these.
I know, but if they ever go to the donut hole, I'm sorry.
I know.
But no, these are good. These are from...
Delicious Orchards on Route 34 in New Jersey. It's where my mom used to buy our produce. It's great there. It's a little far. I don't know. People like go there. That's like a destination in New Jersey. And they are very well known for their apple cider and for their apple cider donuts. And I love these cinnamon apple cider donuts. So that's what we have in front of us today. So why don't we dig in? I put them in the microwave.
Why did you put them in the microwave?
Because they were stale. Because
they're stale donuts.
Because we had a scheduled
recording. I know.
Hold on.
Yeah, a little dry.
Needs milk.
We don't have our milk or coffee because we're doing this in the afternoon today.
Yeah, Ted had school today. He's a hero. Teachers are heroes. I will fight anyone who disrespects a teacher. That's a whole rant that I'm going to go on.
Did you think of that when you were a freshman? Were you thinking that then?
I was thinking that since like I was six. Why, was I mean to you?
No, you weren't mean to me, but...
I just didn't care about school.
I know. It was sad.
I wasn't made for Empower 3000. I was made to read as a siren.
Yes, you were. Yeah. You were much more advanced.
You get bullied for it. No, just kidding. I wasn't bullied for it. Most of the kids actually were very entertained. Okay, I'm eating this. Like, this reminds me of my childhood. These donuts. I remember the first time I had a cinnamon apple cider donut. It was from Wemrock Orchards.
Oh, they're very good. Those ones are hot. Oh, I love those.
Okay, fine. Well, I know which ones I'm getting next. Oh, my God. Also, happy September. It's September 1st.
Oh, September.
I don't know if we're going to keep that in here.
Yeah, September 1st. Yeah. I don't know either. We'll find
out. How do you feel about that it's September?
I love September.
Me too.
I love the fall. I love the start of school.
Mm-hmm. You know,
meeting new kids and stuff like that. It's great.
Yeah. Aww.
But we have the pandemic right now.
Yes, we really cannot forget the type of climate we're in. I mean, this place is a utopia, but no, there's a very real pandemic going on.
Yeah.
And school is definitely going to look different this year for Ted and others.
That's one of the reasons why you're here, though.
Yes. The COVID economy is an interesting one. And, are we going to segue into that? Why I'm here? How honest am I going to be? I was just going to be like, I was going to be homeless.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't. So that's a good segue into why I'm here. I was going to be homeless, but then I reached out and asked for help to my support system. And lo and behold,
here she is.
Yeah, I literally, accepting help is what we're going to talk about today on this episode. Asking for help, why some kids don't ask for help in school, in life, and just times we've asked for help. The fact is, you have the right to ask for help.
Yes.
That's our big lesson for today. So I had to ask for help for, like, I literally was not going to have a home. I actually, you know, Lenore kind of asked you, though.
Yes. She let me know that you needed a place.
Yeah, and then I got right on that phone with you. It's challenging to ask for help, and I want to talk about the school stuff, like asking for help in school. Before I get into my personal beef. Okay. I know that I realize now asking for help is a skill. Like, it is an asset. It is a learned skill.
True, yeah.
And when you're growing up, I think a lot of kids don't learn the skill. Like, it's not something... I remember hearing... What do you think of this? In kindergarten, they always told us, like, don't ask me, ask a friend first, and then ask another friend. Like, my teachers growing up would always be like, ask your friend first. Is that a thing that you guys were taught to say?
No.
They were like, if you have a question, ask your friend first, and if your friend doesn't know, ask your other friend.
Well, that's not a bad direction, because you do need, it helps you learn how to ask questions to people, you know, and sometimes your friends might know the answer and they can help guide you. They're not just going to give you the answer. They can help you, like, figure things out, maybe, if you ask them questions, because they're your partner or they're doing the same kind of work. They can tell you the way they're thinking, you know, but it depends on what you're talking about when you say ask for help. You know, if it's something in school, ask your neighbor and see what they know. If they don't understand, then you ask the teacher. Ultimately, you know, when you ask a question, you're helping other kids in the class too. You're not just helping yourself.
Yes. Oh my God. That's such an important point, Ted, to hammer in, because I mean, I always thought I was the only one who had a question and that it was a stupid question.
No, That's one of the things that I loved about you is you did have good questions. I mean, you always, you know, did. When you participated in class, it was great. That's why you stood out.
On those rare occasions.
Not that you ever did your work, but...
It's true.
But I understand also work is... I'm not one of those teachers that wants to socialize my students, mm-hmm. you know, to force them into learning something that they don't want to learn. And mm-hmm. that's why, like, you didn't like what we were reading. And I understood that when we were reading those computer programmed articles.
Yeah.
And they were below your reading level, too. But they were there to help the kids who had low reading levels. And to give them something to practice that were, like, stories about what was going on in the world.
Yeah, I definitely felt discouraged by that. Like, the type of class I was in, I definitely don't think that schools are there to foster the creative mind.
Well, also, students are... affected by the other kids around them.
Yes,
and
yes.
And so they're always looking for the next, who's going to ask that question? Who's going to give the answer? Mm. Who's going to do this? I'm not going to do it. You know, they have this fear. And it's a social fear, though, too, because if they answer the question, that might put them in a different category that doesn't allow them to be one of the popular kids or something, you know?
Yeah, some kids can't handle that type of judgment in their bodies. I know I couldn't.
A lot of
kids can't.
As a 14-year-old
in your class.
A lot of kids can't. When you, in your class, your freshman year, there were like four or five cheerleaders in that classroom. Right?
Yes, yes.
And those girls were very boisterous. You know, they
boisterous.
Had, yeah. They didn't always have questions about what we were studying, but, you know, they did they motivated the class and moved it forward in a certain way, which I thought was good.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun.
I think we had a lot of fun.
And the thing is sometimes fun is important to loosen people up, you know, loosen students up to feel safe in the classroom, because I don't want to be like a dictator in the classroom, even though...
No, yeah.
The only reason why I have those rules in my classroom is so that other kids who don't speak up can hear what's going on or can participate in some way or feel like they're trying to understand what's going on. Hmm. The rules are not there to stifle anybody.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, that really, like, makes me think when you're saying, like, the other kids asking questions can start an environment where it makes it more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, because I'm thinking about that, how that has happened and how that has happened well and how that has happened not so well in some of my classes in college and in high school. And I'm wondering, like, do you know that first day, how it's going to go, or, like, how long does it take?
No,
for you to know.
You need to get to know the kids, you know, what they want, what they're afraid of, what they don't want, all kinds of things. I mean, that those first couple of days, weeks are really very important. That's why I do a lot of diagnostic writing, whatever, you know, telling me who you introduce yourself to me.
Love those.
Yeah. And then I get them to try to talk to me too. And I let them see that I make mistakes, because when I was a kid, I always thought the teacher was like God or something, you know, it's like, I want to dispel that. I'm not God. You know, I don't have all the answers. I make mistakes just like they do, but I keep going forward. So I want them to be able to say, okay, I made a mistake. That's okay. And what do? We learn from our mistakes. That's something I preach constantly. We learn from our mistakes. So
yes. And you only learn if you can ask. Like, I love an environment where I can, am encouraged to make mistakes.
And there are really no stupid questions. Even though sometimes you might say, oh, that was pretty stupid.
I say it all the time.
Oh. But it's not stupid, you know? Oh, we yelled at them.
That's okay. We did yell at them. We're definitely full of passion here. Oh my God, wait, there was a thought. I love this.
Question?
Like the things that you do. I like the diagnostics, personally. I think that's cool, because we were writing things about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly what was on the diagnostic. I feel like you asked us about our favorite book. I said Secret Life of Bees.
Yeah, we had something like a scavenger hunt to tell me something
about
yourself.
Oh my God,
yourself,
I didn't,
you know?
Like that. I did not like that.
That's
at
so
all.
That people will talk with each other, but then kids don't want to talk with each other.
They
sometimes.
Really don't.
So, but then the,
especially at 8:30 in the morning.
For me, the thing that was really that I love is them writing a letter to me.
Yes.
So they wrote, you know, you'd write a letter to me and you tell me I think back then I wasn't so structured, whereas now I've become where, okay, the first paragraph is about introducing yourself to me and letting me know who your family is and stuff like that. Then the second one might be about what you like about yourself and what you really desire. Mm. And the third paragraph could be about what you expect to get out of school.
Nice.
You know, stuff like that. I try to guide it a little bit.
I love that. I think it's important to have the scavenger hunt too, I guess. That was a little painful. But I think it's important to have both, because there's some kids who are just too scared to actually truthfully answer unless it's in a personal...
Right. They can't even answer if they like pizza. You say, what's your favorite food?
No way. Oh,
and
wow.
There's no answer. I'm like, really? You don't know? Come on. What's your favorite food? You got to have a favorite food. And so then I start talking about my food.
False.
And yeah, I don't know if you remember, but yes. I always use self-antidotes. I gave stories about myself.
That's my favorite thing about teachers, and English teachers especially.
Yeah, because that's how we open the kids up to understand.
Yeah.
And that's what a book is about.
First, you got to share.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to tell you my favorite food.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. So I won't ask that question from the start.
No. Can I tell you a pet peeve of mine as a recent student, I guess? When teachers would pause for the class to answer, no one's going to answer. Everyone's too scared to say anything. Unless there's a really, really boisterous
Is that at the beginning of the year, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the beginning of the year. Yeah, obviously if you've felt the tempo of the classroom and you know who your kids are, that's different. But there's so many times where it's like you're asking out to this room of kids and you think that they're going to say something out loud on the first few days.
Well, this is why I like the Socratic seminars.
I love Socratic seminars. Yes,
because it allows kids to talk to each other and to bring up their own ideas. And, you know, you can have guided questions and they answer them. And students who don't want to participate, they sit in the background. They, you know, ask questions that way, writing on the paper. And when they're ready, they can finally move forward and stuff like that. It's really great.
Yeah.
I love that.
I used to love those. I know that not everyone feels the same way about that when I talk to my friends, but I used to love those. I just love talking about books.
Yeah.
So
I like talking about books,
and,
too.
And, you know, you got to have your little mixture of kids, the boisterous ones that will keep the conversation going, but then sometimes they talk too much, blah, blah, blah. But we really got off course asking. So, yeah, I was afraid to ask questions in high school and in school, even in college. Oh, my God. You think you're the only one. What goes through your mind when a kid asks you for help with school stuff? Cause I was always scared that I was annoying teachers.
Oh no, I love it when a kid asks for help. I mean, I think that, you know, it makes them brave, and I always let them know that, especially depending on the circumstances or how they approach me and stuff like that. But I always let them know, that's so great. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking me to take the time to help you. Because that's what you need to do in life.
Yes. You know? Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. There are sometimes some students ask all the time, and then when you help them, they don't really listen. That can be frustrating, but I try to get them to see that. And so I'll show them examples of things that we've done or talked about and stuff like that, but I don't discourage it because I think it's important that I try to be there for them. And that's my job.
That is your job, and you do it really well.
I love it.
That's something you could tell when your teachers don't love it. Ted is definitely one of those teachers who I would go to for things. Mostly my senior year, when I would be like, oh my God, I have to tell. After Shirley Temple died, ran to you.
Yeah. We were all tappers, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Rest in peace, Shirley. We're going to digress a lot during these podcasts. We have a habit of, you know, getting off book.
We'll talk about that some other time, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that with Robin.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yes.
If she signs on to this. So, yeah, asking for help, you said, that's the only way you're going to get forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
How are you asking for help now in your life that's helping you get forward?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wow. You know, it's a really this is a time when you have to ask for help because of this pandemic and what some people are expecting of teachers and things like that. Now, a lot of teachers are afraid to go back. They're not giving us a choice. You know, the people who are afraid should stay home. It's understandable to be afraid. The people who are not afraid should go out and try to see how this is going to work, you know? So when I see that they're not telling us the truth about what's going on in the school, for instance, air quality, then I have to speak up. I have to ask questions. I have to call the union. I have to, you know, I want to talk to the superintendent, but I'm not allowed to right now, but I'm really like, you know, like digging my heels in to not go running over there and say, hey, what the heck's going on? Tell the truth, you know.
And that's a good life skill.
Yes.
I think that says a good thing about your hope. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're...
Yes, it leaves you hopeless if you can't ask questions. Yes!
It does. And I was hopeless and I failed your class. But, and I've lost... So, yeah. I think that's an amazing example, though, of how you're asking for help and advocating for yourself.
You failed at my class, though, too, because you weren't you weren't fulfilling the social norms of a student in a classroom.
Yeah.
And I had to show that because, you know, all this paperwork showed that you weren't doing your work and stuff like that.
Yeah, I fully earned that F.
Right.
I earned it.
So I gave you that, but then I also was hoping that maybe it would trigger you into being more active, but you weren't. However, your participation in class, the questions you asked and stuff like that, didn't just help you, but it helped other people in class. And I realized I'm not going to fail you anymore after that, you know? I'm going to use that to, as a participation grade. And if anybody asks me questions, oh, well, she didn't do any of this work. How can you give her, you know? I say, because she did other things in class that were very helpful. And she's a bright girl. She's not going to, why should we keep her back in ninth grade English another year when she doesn't need it? She really doesn't.
Oh, God. Thank you. Thank you. That would have totally changed the trajectory of, honestly.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's weird, too, because you're saying I did ask questions, and, like, definitely I had, like, a boisterousness, too, but it was, like, what was allowed for me in my life. Like, I could not ask the actual questions that I wanted to ask. Too embarrassed.
There are some kids who fail also because they're afraid of everything, you
right.
know, and that you have to notice as a teacher as well. And you have to try to figure out, like, you know, where do they stand in this world and how are you going to help them move forward? So giving those kids an F could have really affected them in a negative way.
Yes, you are 100% correct.
Yeah. For you, it didn't.
No, we didn't. That was not a value held. I'm happy about that for the most part. I learned the importance of doing the work, even if you don't like what you're being given. But like, I definitely didn't value getting A's, and I kind of like that I didn't let that get to me too much. I had friends all around me who were too scared and who were always like asking for help, asking questions, and I didn't understand that. Now I really admire that. Definitely, I don't know. I'm glad I wasn't losing hair over my grades, though. Like, you know, like my friends who were in AP bio and stuff, I truly, honestly could not. I don't know how to explain this to you, but, like, I didn't understand why they were all stressed out about school. I was on a low frequency with the hopes I had for myself after high school.
That does affect your work.
Yeah.
Your choices.
I've said some grim shit to you, I realize. Like, I didn't realize my existential crisis, I let that leak out. Because didn't I tell you? I was like, oh, we're all going to die one day.
Yes.
I didn't realize I straight up just told you. My cries for help were louder than I had thought. Through mine when a student asked for help. Yeah, I'm glad you cleared that up, that you enjoy when a student asks for help. I think a lot of people need to hear that.
I tell them all the time, there's no stupid question. We learn from our mistakes. Come on, don't be afraid to ask a question. You know, it's like, I try to stress it as much as possible. Because it's a life lesson, not just a school lesson.
It is a life lesson. I'm learning that. I learn that, like, every new day as a 22-year-old who just graduated, I got my internships through asking for connections. I'm in the place now where I'm just asking all my connections to put a word in.
The thing that I've learned, too, is I say this to myself over and over. It doesn't hurt to ask.
I know. What, if what's you the worst never thing that ask, can do? The answer yeah. will always be no.
Right. Yeah. You're saying no to yourself all the time. You have to
You're saying no to yourself. Yes. And it's just so, you're already putting yourself in that box before you actually.
Yeah.
And we
got to stop putting ourselves in those boxes.
I know.
We got to be a ray of sunshine.
Right? Easier said than done, for sure, because I preach this shit to my friends all the time, and then I don't take my own advice. But
it's
you know what I do?
It's easier to preach than to do.
Yes, it is. I'm glad we're both aware. But you know what I have, what has helped me? I do my, watercolors, and I'll just watercolor ask, and put it on my wall.
Oh, you...
And, so I'd have a huge one that says ask, just to remind me to ask. Because that's one of my problems. I don't ask. I'll assume that no. Or,
And you know, what's really weird is I always thought I was brought up that way. That my parents didn't allow me to ask.
Yeah.
Because I was brought up in an era where kids were supposed to be seen and not heard.
Oh my God.
And if you ask a question.
Disagree.
But when you're in front of somebody who might have some kind of power, that's where
you
freeze.
Oh God, yeah. I'm really not. I mean, sometimes I'm afraid to ask you questions, but.
I know, I've seen it.
Yeah, and I'm working on that. I'm growing a lot with the amount of questions I allow myself to ask, which is fun. And, but back to asking as, propelling your career, I guess.
And your life.
Yeah, your life. Yeah, I think I'm very, aware that I need a career right now, or whatever, I don't know. But, because I'm thinking about the assumption that asking is annoying. Because in my last internship at her campus, I love her campus so much, oh my God, I really had to challenge myself every single day that I was working to clarify things with my boss. And at the end of my assessment for my internship, she praised how great I was at communicating. And I felt like I grew so much, and I was so scared that I might be annoying her, but I definitely, that was something I had to push through, and it helped me so much because she knew what page I was on.
Probably helped her too, though.
She knew exactly what I was doing. Yeah. She knew exactly what I was doing. And I think that's so great. And it just sucks to think of everyone who's not asked or not putting themselves in the position to clarify because they're afraid of being stupid, which is a very real fear, but it's not usually true.
Mm-hmm.
If you never ask, the answer is always no. Yeah, I asked you to do this podcast. I was scared.
To ask me to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, today.
Oh,
not
well,
when we first started.
Today and when we first started, I was working up the courage to ask you. And then I asked you and you were like, yes. And then you started giving me ideas and I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever. I think that people love being asked questions, actually. Mm-hmm. I, for one, love talking about myself, right? And Matt asked me the most fun questions about acting that no one has ever asked me. And I appreciated those asks a lot. But people think they're being annoying. People think they're prodding or whatever.
Yeah.
I think questions are magical.
Yeah.
It's time for the very first Weird Similarities of the Week, our segment, because this is the segment that I invented because I can't get over how similar we are.
Okay.
First weird similarity of the week.
Yeah.
We used to play with crutches. Mine were my mom's old crutches or maybe my older brother's. And
mine were my brother's. My older brother's.
So we both used to love playing with these. I don't know how this came up.
Oh, I was talking about my toes because I'm going to the car. I'm going to have an operation, I think, on my two big toes.
Oh my God, Ted.
Yeah.
Way to break it to me.
So I thought that I had broken my toes playing with the crutches years ago. And, you know, because I landed on them, they were both swollen, black and blue. And I didn't tell anyone because my mother had always told
me. Shame.
Yeah, if she saw me playing with those crutches, she was going to whip me. I was like, okay. So I pretended like I never played with them. I just kept my mouth shut. And for weeks, I was limping when nobody was looking.
Dead. Yeah.
So then when I started doing ballet, the ballet slipper always rubbed on my toes, like in a weird way, right underneath the... you know, the big bone. And I thought it was because I had broken them. And I just found out a couple of years ago that that's not what it was. So.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, when you said the thing about playing with the crutches in secret, literally what I used to do in my basement, I would, I was scared of being caught, but I was never really caught. I knew that it was going to be bad if I was caught, but I didn't break anything, thankfully. I've actually never broken a bone. But yeah, I know. I've gotten stitches.
How old are you? 22.
22. I've never. Yeah, it's weird.
My first break was when I was 24.
Okay, so ominous.
Yes.
So I loved playing with the crutches. I loved doing a swingy motion. What did you do?
Yes, I did the swingy motion.
You like jump.
But also we had a long hallway, so I'd go really fast down the hallway and I'd swing and fly and swing and fly.
I love flying. We were flying. We were.
Yes, it was like flying.
We were Peter Pan.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. And I love that we were both doing that, not at all at the same time.
Not at all.
I wasn't born yet when you were swinging.
Maybe you were somebody else.
Yeah, I definitely was. Yes, I was definitely reincarnated from the Great Depression, I think. Everyone thinks that about me for my thriftiness. So second weird similarity of the week. We are both Dean people.
Dean?
From Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yes.
So we're both team...
We both love Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
And
first
so Matt.
Similarity, oh, which is like, everyone should love that show. Holy shit. Amy Sherman Palladino is a genius, and I would kiss her feet and wash them with my hair, right? That's the Judas thing. We found this out because we were watching Gilmore Girls together, and
because
we just like
we
Dean.
Realized
we just like a nice boy.
But it was the episode where she was deciding over Dean, and we're like,
yes.
Oh my god, you got to choose Dean.
Yeah, which
and you wanted that same thing. We're both.
We were like, oh, okay.
Wait,
I think
like
we're
Dean?
The only two people in the universe who believe this.
Because he's a good guy. What's wrong with being a good guy? You know,
so,
what's wrong with that?
I know. I think...
the bad guy always wins. Come on.
I know. I was always like, Jess is a douchebag. Like, Jess is acting like such a brat. But, and when Dean was dating Rory at first, I was like, oh my god, that... She's so lucky. Blah, blah, blah. Which definitely reflects inner things about myself.
But then you did see the difference that he was... Jess was very deep. And that's why he was the way he was.
I like the deep.
He read like she read, so they had things in common.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a troubled...
Yeah. I didn't like the way he talked in the beginning. But in the beginning, I was so team Dean, but then my friends we discussed this, and I do get why it's team Jess.
Yeah.
But
me
I
too,
was,
but...
We were such Dean girls.
Oh, yeah.
And I just feel like that says something about us. That we're like low risk. Like we're risk averse.
Yeah. Well, we want the nice guy.
Yeah, which like good for us. Holy
yeah.
shit. It's like in Sex and the City. Marry an Aiden. Don't marry a big.
I never watched that.
Don't. I like her hair. I like Carrie Bradshaw's hair. You really didn't watch the show at all.
Not at
Sarah,
all.
How do you feel about SJP?
Sarah Jessica Parker? Well, I knew her from others.
She was Annie. So you're using asking right now in your life. I obviously used asking. I mean, I was a little more nonchalant about it, but like asking is literally, or I guess telling, because I told Lenore about my situation and then she asked if she could ask and I was like, yes, please ask people.
And the thing is, she asked me if I could find an apartment for you here in the city, you know, if I knew of any place.
Mm.
But I was like, wait a minute, I have a room. And I've always loved Jenna. You know, I mean, I used to go see you perform in the city and
yes,
different things.
Yes,
yeah.
Literally,
so I was
so
like,
nice.
Come on.
Come on, no-brainer.
That wasn't planned.
And also, we are weirdly
similar. Yeah.
Like, weirdly the same.
Weirdly.
I mean...
With all the years difference.
All the years. All the years. We are just... You wrote that in my yearbook, I remember. You said we're kindred... How do you pronounce it?
Kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits.
Yes.
You said that, and I was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. We're both hams.
Yes.
We're both just like feely. We're both like sensitive, I would say. We both love Yiddish terminology.
Yes. I almost became Jewish, you know. I was going to convert.
Okay, we need to talk about this later because now it's really freaky. Really freaky similarities. Oh my God, soulmates, sisters.
I used to take Matt to temple.
I used to go to temple. Okay, anyway, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. We need to have an episode on religion.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
Lust, religious lust. All right, now it's time for the first installation of this segment called Jenna Reviews an Item in Ted's Fridge.
Oh, okay.
So today, I'm going to be reviewing your Chobani oat milk. When I first saw the Chobani oat milk in your fridge my first week of being here, I was like, whoa, this is a hip household. This is a modern household. This is a sustainable household because oat milk is the most sustainable milk.
Sustainable in many ways.
Yeah.
Bernard and I have been together 21 years. We built a
Were you
together.
Guys sustained by oat milk this whole time?
Yeah, it's part of our bonding.
You're really ahead of the curve, Ted.
We're both lactose intolerant.
Oh my God.
That was...
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Wait, but there's so much cheese in your fridge. Last night we had so much Gouda.
Because he's French.
Oui.
So you have to measure your amount of lactose and you have to make choices. Like for me, when I choose calories, I choose donuts over wine. Donuts over alcohol. Donuts over anything.
Donuts. See how it all comes back? See how we're consistent with our brand?
Yeah.
Back to the oat milk. Yeah. I didn't have Chobani oat milk until coming here. I just restocked it, actually, the other
day. Oh,
I went to Wegmans. It was really fun.
There was none when I was there the other day. That's why I didn't buy it again.
Oh my God, I'm happy to restock it.
Thank you.
I felt so hip putting it in my cart. I love the taste of it.
It's good.
It's really good in Rook cold brew. Mm. I buy the mocha one since... So I migrated here from New York. Yeah, so I missed my Monmouth County Rook. This probably means nothing to you. No one knows what Monmouth County is or what Rook is. I mean, our friends who are listening do. But yeah, Chobani oat milk is a 10 out of 10. I love the packaging. My friend Giovanna works for Chobani. Hi, Giovanna. She's hip. I feel like everyone's just hip and beautiful who drinks Chobani oat milk.
And I like it with the Asbury Roastery coffee.
Hi, you guys. It's just me, Jenna, now. I wanted to do a little outro and say thank you so much for listening to our very first episode of our podcast, which is now called Why I Failed Your Class. We're definitely new to the whole podcasting thing, so you'll probably hear some... as you listen, you're going to hear us learn, for sure. But the second I moved into Ted's house and started talking to him more, I was like, oh God, please can we do a podcast? Because I just love our conversations, and I know you will too. So thank you for listening. Have an amazing day. And don't forget to like this, subscribe to our podcast, and follow us on Instagram. It's Why I Failed Your Class Pod. Bye.